Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, and we'll read the second of Paul's prayers in this letter that he wrote to the Ephesians in verses 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He starts out this prayer and he says, for this reason, and to remind ourselves of what reason he would make this prayer and offer this petition, we need to back up to verses 10 through 13 and read those again to know that this is the reason why he felt it necessary to pray the way that he prayed. In verse 10 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Paul didn't want the Ephesians to be discouraged because he was in prison in Rome. He didn't want that to be a stumbling block for them to continue to faithfully publish and proclaim the message of grace that had been revealed to Paul for this church age. He didn't want them to stop because of fear or shame or discouragement to be faithful to this message that is God's message. It wasn't Paul's, not in the sense that he was the origin of it, the source of it. It was Paul's in the sense that God chose him as that instrument. But this is God's gospel. It is the gospel of his grace. And so Paul did not want them to be discouraged to the point that they weren't going to proclaim this message. For this reason, to this end, he prays for the Ephesians that they would be strengthened in the inner man. This is the petition that Paul offers in this prayer. And then he goes on to explain, when we are strengthened spiritually in that inner man, then it will manifest itself in a number of ways that he goes on to list. If we are going to experience all that God wants to experience, the phrases here, they overwhelm me, that we can be filled with all the fullness of God, that little phrase, and yet do we understand what that means? Who is God? He fills the universe. He is the maker of everything. And we can be filled with all the fullness of God, all that he intends for the human race, we can enter into. We have entrance by faith into the very presence of the Almighty God, and we can call him Father because of Jesus, because of what he accomplished on the cross. This is why Paul didn't want this message to be crushed and these saints to be discouraged simply because he was in prison. He says, I'm in prison for you. I'm in prison for humanity, that they might know the plan of redemption. If we're today in this church age, this prayer, this petition of Paul, it was for the Ephesian saints, but it's just as necessary for us today. And I believe that Paul prayed for us as well in this prayer. There are so many things that can discourage us in life. Our personal hardships, personal sacrifices, those alone can be discouraging. And then we can look at the church as a whole. We can look at humanity. And there are so many things that would discourage us from continuing to be faithful to proclaim the good news of the gospel of God's grace to others. But saints, we can't allow that to happen. And if we're not going to be discouraged, if we're not going to be hindered from proclaiming and being living examples of this gospel, the power of the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to save us, to transform us, to give us an eternal hope. If we're not going to be discouraged, we must be spiritually strong in the inner man. And this is what Paul is praying for. In Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. We must allow the Holy Spirit to answer Paul's petition in our own lives individually. There is no question that God will answer this petition of Paul because it's the will of God. When we pray according to the will of God, what is the confidence we have? We will have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we know this is the will of God, that we be spiritually strong. But for this petition to be answered in us, we have to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, his power that will finish this work, will do this in us. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good. We do, don't we? Mentioned to the fellows the other night, I'm tired. I'm tired physically, emotionally, because of all the things that you just have to deal with in life. I'm tired. But when we become weary, we need to go into the presence of God and allow him to give us that strength that is found in the Lord, not in us. If God's relying on my strength, it's going to be disappointing. But his strength in me. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Of course, that's the context of what we're talking about, doing the will of God. When you're living in sin, sin will wear you down. You should be weary in sin. But in doing good, in doing the will of God. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's why Paul was praying for the Ephesians. Don't be discouraged. We will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Continue to do what God would have you to do. And as Paul continues in writing to the Ephesians in the latter chapters, beginning at chapter 4, he's going to begin to expound on what those things are, what those good things are, what the will of God is for every area of our life, for our marriages, for our children, for our community, the relationships that we have in community. He's going to give us God's will in those areas, and we simply need to yield to them in order to have all that God would have us to have. Paul prays to God the Father, who is the Father of the whole household of faith. Everyone who's put their faith in Jesus Christ. Some of the household, and as we get older, I'm 62 now, and I used to hear the older ones, the generation before me, talk about how much of their generation they knew more on the other side than they knew on this side. And I didn't realize that would happen so quickly, but a lot of my friends now are on the other side. Yeah. My generation, some are in heaven of that household of faith. Some are on earth. I'm still here. You're still here. But we're all part of the same family, and we have the same Father. And we have access to him. Those in heaven have a little closer access. But one day, that's what I'll be as well. But now it's by faith I can enter into the presence of the throne room of God. And it doesn't matter what our ethnicity or nationality or our color of skin or education level or finance. We're all of the household of faith, and we can call him Father. What a privilege is ours to come before the throne of the Almighty God, to cast all of our cares upon him, and then allow him to make us what he wants us to be in this life and in eternity. 2 Corinthians 3. When you become discouraged, and I mentioned there are a number of reasons that we get weary and discouraged in life. Sometimes the things that discourage us from going on and doing the will of the Lord is our own limitations, and sometimes our own failures discourage us. And that can overwhelm us, and that can keep us from getting back up and walking in that path of righteousness. But we need to be convinced by the Word of God that I can be everything God wants me to be. And that's not a boast in me, but it is a boast in the grace of God that has been given me. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 and 6, 4 through 6, rather. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This Spirit-inspired message of the grace of God gives life, not only eternal life, but abundant life, victorious life, right now as we, in this life, as we anticipate the coming of the Lord. So the petition that Paul asks here, there's really just one, but then it branches out and tells us the benefit of being spiritually strong in that inner man. The inner man is that spiritual life of Christ that every believer in Jesus Christ receives when they accept Jesus as their Savior. It's a miracle that we can't explain, we can't diagram it, but when you accept Jesus as your Savior, we partake of the very divine nature of God our Father. He places that within us. We have the very life of Christ within us, that inner man. And every child of God has that when they receive, when they accept Jesus as their Savior. But here, the exhortation to us is, who already have this inner man, this new life, is to be strong, for that life in us to become strong. And if that's going to happen, we need to do certain things that Paul's going to reveal in this letter to the Ephesians in order to be spiritually strong. And when we become spiritually strong, as Paul continues in his prayer, then we will be able to know the love of God in all of its aspects, experience all that he has for us in this life and in eternity. And when Paul prays, you stop and think at the relatively few prayers that we have recorded for us of Paul. Now, I'm sure Paul prayed for all kinds of things when he thought of the saints. I'm sure he prayed for healing, for financial support. I'm sure he prayed for specific things. But what the Holy Spirit has chosen to preserve for us today are these prayers of Paul. And you read them, and we've done in the past, we've done studies on the various prayers that Paul has recorded for us. And they all have to do with what? With our spiritual, eternal well-being. Now, God cares about our temporal needs. He cares about those daily needs. And for that, he gives us the promise, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But the most important thing in our life is that we are spiritually strong. And sadly, too many of God's people, they put their spiritual condition, their spiritual life last, if at all. But it should be our priority above everything else, above family. I know that's strong words, but I don't think it's any stronger than what Jesus said. Unless you leave father, mother, wife, husband, in comparison to your love and commitment to Jesus Christ, it will be considered hate. Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? But above everything else, family, job, hobbies, we should desire to be strong in the inner man. And there's only certain things that are going to strengthen that inner man. And if we neglect those, we're going to be weak spiritually. So what does it mean? The world has their idea of, oh, that's a spiritual person. And they could be talking about someone who does meditation, or they have their eye, oh, that's a spiritual man, because they think of all of these mystical things, so they're spiritual. That's not what the Bible's talking about. To be a spiritual individual means to have an understanding of the will of God and the ability to do the will of God. That's what spirituality is. Know what God wants and then do it. Now, I know that doesn't sound as glamorous or as mysterious, but that's what it means to be spiritually strong. And so there are things that we are to do that will cause us to have an understanding of the will of God and will give us the ability to do the will of God. That's how you become strong. That's how you exercise those muscles of faith, by doing the things that lead to us understanding the will of God and doing the will of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 to 16. Paul wrote about the spiritually minded man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, comparing what the Holy Spirit has revealed to be true in the word that he inspired, comparing the word of God But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They come by a revelation of the Holy Spirit. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Stop and think about that. A spiritually minded individual, judges all things in the light of what? The will of God. What does God say about this situation in my life or the life of someone else? What does God say? What has he revealed by the Spirit in his word to be true? That's how I judge everything, if I'm spiritual. Others will look at those judgments that are made in the light of the word of God, and they will say that's foolishness. And they judge us, they condemn us. But God says they're not rightly judged by anyone. They're misjudged. And the spiritual individual knows that when it's all said and done, God is our only judge, not man. We need to know what we're going to be judged by. Sister Barb mentioned that her son's going to take a test, and at 60, the mental capacity is not quite what it used to be, and I can testify to that. But when you take a test, you need to know what the subject is in order to do well on it. And the wonderful thing about being a Christian and about being strong in the inner man, all of us can be that. No matter what your education level is in the natural, you can know the will of God and you can do it, because it's not based on our finite minds, but as we'll find out, it's the very mind of Christ that we possess. I didn't finish verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What a statement. What a privilege we as Christians have. The one by whom everything is held together in nature. Everything consists because of the very presence of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we have his mind. We have the ability to understand what he understands about what life and what life is all about. The mind of Christ is to know the will of God. Jesus came to do the will of God. I have that mind. I can do the will of God. But as I mentioned, there are so many of God's people today that their inner spiritual strength is something that they don't pay attention to. They neglect. And so it robs them of the ability to know and to benefit from doing, knowing the will of God and doing it, and all the blessings that come from it. Most of God's people are ignorant of these very clear instructions that we have in these remaining chapters of the letter to the Ephesians and other parts of Scripture. Many are ignorant of even what they say, and others know what they say and just ignore it. That doesn't lead to being spiritually strong. Beginning in chapter 4, Paul's going to begin to give some very practical instructions. This is what God has always impressed upon me from the very beginning of my ministry, is we need the two parts. We need the doctrinal statements. We need to understand what God revealed to Paul to be his will for salvation, for living. Know the doctrines. Christ in me, the hope of glory. But then we must proclaim the other side of that as well. Practical. If you believe these truths to be true, this is how it will impact your life. This is how it will impact your relationship with your children, with your spouse, with the community. This is how these truths will impact you. Doctrine is for the purpose of causing us to love with the love of God. If we just memorize and we boast in, well, this is what I believe, and this is what our church believes, and this is what Brother Doug believes, and we're gung-ho about it, well, good. Does it change your life? Does it transform you? That's the strength of and the power of the truth of God. We're going to read in our study as it continues the need to assemble ourselves together. Simple instruction, and yet one that the vast majority of God's people choose to ignore. Not important. And yet as we read, and as we'll read in Ephesians in chapter 4, that's where God, in the local assembly, that's where God has given gifts for the edification, for the building up, for the strengthening of God's people. So if you throw that out the window, you're saying, thanks God, but no thank you. We are to study God's word. We're to rightly divide it. We are to spend time in prayer and meditation. Those things will strengthen us spiritually. But again, if we neglect them, you're going to be weak. You're not going to enjoy the fullness of God in your life. You're not going to know by experience the word that Paul uses there in the prayer that we might know the love of God. Well, I know the love of God. I know all about it, for God so loved the world. The word know there means to know by experience, because he goes on to say that passes knowledge. Well, how can you know something that passes knowledge? You experience it. You may not be able to fully describe it, but you can experience all of the love of God, but only by being strong in the inner man. The source for that spiritual strength is according to God's riches in glory. We don't have to rely on our sources, but God's. I quoted earlier Philippians 4:19, if you want to jot it down there. This promise is one that we can be assured of. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When it says all needs, that means both material, natural, as well as spiritual. Whatever you need to be spiritually strong, God will supply. It's not a question. You don't have to beg him. You can ask him, remind him. When I say remind him, I mean remind yourself. All that I need to be what God wants me to be, he will supply. I can rest in that. In verses 16 and verse 20 as well, of our opening text there in Ephesians 3, in Paul's prayer, it says that this will happen through his Spirit, the power of his Spirit. We read in the Old Testament that to do the will of God, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so there's no excuse for me. There's no excuse for any of us. Every child of God can be spiritually strong. Every child of God is not spiritually strong because they neglect the things that exercise that inner man. But there's not a one of us that can say, oh, I've heard all my life when some would look at those that they would consider spiritual, oh, I could never be brother so-and-so. I could never be sister so-and-so. Well, number one, God never called you to be brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. He called you to serve him as he directs. You are responsible and accountable only for what God has given you to do. And there's not a one of us that can say, well, I can't, because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. To say that you can't be the kind of Christian that you ought to be is to say that God is unable to do the work. I don't want to say that about God. So I know it's a choice as his child. I can choose to exercise, or I can choose to be lazy. It's a choice that I have to make, but I know that if I will yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, I will be everything God wants me to be. Galatians 5:16. This is why I've never hesitated to say that I know that I can sit with Christ in his throne as his joint equal heir, because I know it's not a boast in me, but a boast in the grace of God that will enable me. If I were just looking at my faults and my weaknesses and my limitations, I would say, God, why did you even tease me with that, saying that I could sit with Christ, that I could be a joint equal heir? If I suffer with him, I can't do that. But I tend to want to agree with God, what God says to be true. And in Galatians 5:16, it's a simple statement. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when I yield to the revelation of the will of God by the Spirit gives me that understanding. When I look to him, I study the Word of God, I pray for enlightenment, for understanding. The Holy Spirit will give that to me. This is the will of God. And if I will just walk in obedience to what he has revealed to be true in my life, I will not live a life of carnality. That's what the promise is here. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't do that which is unpleasant and unwanted by your Father. You'll please him. I have to know the Word of God. I have to yield to it. Again, choices. All of those are choices. But if I do what leads to spiritual strength, God will answer the petition that Paul made. Above all that we ask or think. There are so many that try to be imaginative with their prayers and think of things to demand that God do for them. I don't have to be an imaginative. God will do far above anything that I can even think of. But with eternity in mind, not my present convenience, but for eternity, he'll do far above. That's why I know I can sit with Christ. Otherwise, I could never think of that. So I don't focus on my weaknesses and inabilities, but I have to learn. You have to learn. We have to continue daily to look to the Holy Spirit to teach us and to enable us. That's what we're doing here this morning. That's the purpose of these meetings that we have. It's not just the social aspect. That's a part of who we are. God made us a social creature. There's nothing wrong with that. We need each other in that social contact. That's why the pandemic has been so difficult, that took away that social aspect from us. We need that. But that alone is not the answer, because there's a lot of social activities you can be involved in, and they won't make you spiritually strong. But it's the Word of God that will transform your life, give you wisdom, direction, joy, peace. And if we will be spiritually strong, Paul goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts. The result of being spiritually strong is that Christ will dwell in your hearts. Now, this is not talking about merely being saved and possessing life. Everyone who has the Son has life. So every child of God has the life of Christ. But when the Bible talks about dwelling, it talks about coming and making your heart, your life, His home, where He governs, where He's comfortable being there, to live as master and owner, to take liberty, to do what you want in that place, to dwell, that Christ may dwell in your life. Jesus feels at home and has liberty to do His will in those that are spiritually strong. Have you ever been to someone's house and you're there for a little bit and then you begin to feel pretty uncomfortable because of their language or because of some things they may have displayed? Or you ever been in someone's home and you just felt a little uncomfortable? And because it wasn't your home, you couldn't confront them and you couldn't try to correct them because you were in their house. And I'm wondering if that's not how Jesus feels in the lives of some of His people. He's there. He's their Savior. They have life, but is He comfortable there? Because of what is allowed in that life, I want the Lord to dwell in my heart, to be the master of my heart, not just to invite Him into my house, but to give Him my life. I can only do that if I'm spiritually strong. Let's close with a familiar psalm, Psalm 23. Paul wrote that we would experience every aspect of the love of God, to know the love of God that passes knowledge. This familiar psalm, I believe, is a summary of an individual that experiences all the love of God in their life. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my owner. He dwells in my life. He's the one who lives in and of Himself. He exists by His own self. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, the things that refresh me, that strengthen me. He leads me into that as I know His will. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When I fall short, He lifts me up and He puts me back on that right path to live in a way that honors Him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. God's Word, it corrects us, it guides us, it protects us. But I have to know that Word. I have to surrender, submit to its authority. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Yes, we have trials. Yes, we have enemies in this life. But because of the love of God that I can know and I can experience, I'm protected. He provides for me everything that I need. He gives me what I need for healing, that anointing oil, for comfort. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Only spiritual saints can experience the fullness of God. All the fullness that you may be filled. Paul was writing to Christians. He would not have written what he wrote if it wasn't possible for Christians who have life to not experience all the fullness of God. Only the spiritually strong can be filled with all the fullness of God. I want that for my life. And if I do, I need to pay attention to the rest of these instructions that Paul's going to give me through the anointing of the Holy Spirit.